Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 60 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanna Akers.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
We've had some police officers and paramedics and EMTs to show symptoms of exposure to carfentanil.
Police in Rowan County are warning of a deadly batch of drugs in the area.
Lexington police have new information about a hit and run.
Rain and winds are headed into the region, but aren't expected to be dangerous.
A Kentucky senator says recent shootings are hate crimes.
A bridge in Rowan County is undergoing emergency repairs.
In sports, Moorhead State's volleyball teams faces off with EKU tomorrow.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly clear with a low around 55 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Moorhead police are warning the public of a batch of potentially deadly drugs in the area. Three people in Rowan County overdosed yesterday, and one was unable to be revived. 35-year-old Daniel Marshall of Fairborn, Ohio, was found in the Motel 6 on Monday morning. MPD Captain Kyle Callahan says police are investigating the death as an overdose.
We have no idea where he got it from or if he was selling. We don't have any idea on that. We just know that he passed away from a drug overdose, and it was, you know, we got search warrant for the room, and that's when we confiscated the drugs. So whether that is where the other people got it, there's no connection within the three that we know of.
Moorhead PD sent a sample of the substance to the state police lab for testing, and it was estimated that the substance was either fentanyl or carfentanil. Callahan says the public should be aware and take appropriate precautions.
The name of a man killed in a motorcycle crash in Lexington yesterday has been released. WKYT reports the crash happened on Georgetown Road in Lexington. Fayette County Coroner Gary Ginn tells WKYT the victim is 36-year-old Benjamin Murphy. Murphy was thrown from his motorcycle and apparently died of blunt force trauma from the crash. Ginn said both vehicles were on fire after the crash, and investigators think they know why.
What we believe happened is the motorcycle's fuel tank was probably broken open and burst into flames.
Ginn says Murphy was traveling in the oncoming lane and the truck driver had to drive partially off the road to avoid a head-on collision. The driver of the truck was not injured in the crash.
Lexington police have new evidence in regards to a deadly hit-and-run collision that happened October 20th. According to WKYT, they obtained a video of the collision on North Limestone and Templeman Alley, which killed 47-year-old John Oliver. The video depicts a silver or gray 2004 or 2009 model Kia Spectra striking the cyclist. The driver eventually pulls into Academy Alley before a man and woman get out of the car. Both individuals in the video are white, and the woman's hair is in dreadlocks. An investigation is still ongoing. Anyone with information is asked to call 859-258-3663.
An Ashland woman has been charged in relation to a suspected drug overdose. The Daily Independent reports police were called to a residence on Floyd Street early yesterday regarding a deceased male. Police believe that man, Lawrence Hardin of Ashland, died as a result of a drug overdose. Police conducted an investigation and eventually arrested 36-year-old Jaron Dishman. She is charged with second-degree manslaughter, trafficking in a controlled substance, and trafficking within 1,000 feet of a school. The Boyd County Coroner's Office is continuing its investigation.
A Laurel County man is accused of shooting into his parents' home. The Laurel County Sheriff's Office responded to Fairston Road Monday morning to find 21-year-old Matthew Sherman holding a gun and shouting. Deputies learned several shots had been fired into the home of Sherman's parents on Circle Street. According to investigators, an argument had occurred between Sherman and another person at Sherman's father's house. The acquaintance left, and Sherman began arguing with his father. A detective said Sherman admitted shooting into the home several times because he was trying to protect his family, who he knew to be inside the home at the time. Sherman was charged with public intoxication, menacing, disorderly conduct, resisting arrest, and three counts of wanton endangerment.
Lexington police are investigating shots fired into a home early this morning. WKYT reports at least one person was inside the home on Highland Park Drive at the time, but no injuries were reported. Police say they have a few leads to follow, but are still investigating the incident.
Kentucky's senior senator says the Pittsburgh synagogue shooting and the recent Louisville area Kroger shooting are rise to the level of hate crimes and should be aggressively prosecuted. WUKY's Josh James has more.
Speaking with Spectrum News Monday, Senator Mitch McConnell said both crimes warrant capital punishment.
Well, with regard to these shootings in Kroger and in Pittsburgh, they fit the definition of a hate crime, and I hope the federal authorities will throw the book at both of them and go for the death penalty. Absolutely no place for that in America.
The comments fall in line with the tone set by President Donald Trump, who has suggested the country, quote, stiffen up death penalty laws in the wake of the violence in Pittsburgh. McConnell added that political rhetoric in the country should be ratcheted down, urging people to, quote, dial it back and get into a better, more respectful place. When asked whether the president's own rhetoric needed to be toned down, the leader did not respond. McConnell was in Frankfurt to address the conservative Federalist Society. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
We'll have a look at your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, providing a curbside recycling service to residents of Moorhead and Rowan County. Residential pickup available every Sunday. Pre-sorting the recycled materials is not required. Accepting number one and two plastic, cardboard, paper, electronics, metal, and grocery bags. Materials may be placed in any container, placed at curbside for pickup and visible from street. More information by calling 784-1250.
There's more bad weather on the way, but nothing to be too concerned about. That's the word from the National Weather Service in Jackson. John Pelton is a meteorologist with the NWS. He says while there will be a good amount of rain in the area, the harder hit areas will be to the northwestern part of the state.
Basically close to Interstate 64, about 2.5 to 3 inches areas, I-64 and to the north and west. And then the rest of eastern Kentucky, looking at more like an inch to about 2 to 2.5 inches as you get closer to the Mountain Parkway and areas to the north. This is in an area that actually got less rainfall. The heaviest rainfall this event will actually fall in an area that didn't get as heavy rain at the end of last week.
Pelton says we can also expect some windy conditions, but they won't be as severe as what's been experienced over the past couple of weekends.
The state's intention to build a new bridge on Little Perry Road in Rowan County have been on hold as the current bridge is in need of emergency repairs. Officials say the Little Perry Road bridge cannot withstand more than 3 tons. Rowan County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevin says there was public concern with the bridge's current state.
Because people were in a hurry to get that. A lot of them was concerned the ambulance may not be able to get up to them. Someone were concerned about the gas situation, let alone bottle gas, and the big truck that carried the mess could not come across the bridge. They wouldn't come across the bridge. So we met and did an emergency meeting go ahead and get this thing rocking and rolling.
Blevins believes the bridge is still considerably safe. Officials hope to have repairs finished by the end of the week.
Fleming County Fiscal Court has been granted $133,000 in discretionary funds for road repairs in Anderson Branch Road. The road was chosen to receive the discretionary funds due to the poor condition of the road. Fleming County Judge Executive Larry Foxworthy says maintenance now will save more money down the road.
If it went through another, say we had a real hard winter and a lot of freeze and thaw, it would be in a lot worse shape in the spring than it would be now, or even if it was let go another year. We rank those in priorities, and we thought this one probably would need to be done first in order to save a lot more construction costs later on.
The discretionary funds are limited to the repair of Anderson Branch Road only.
A former judge from Eastern Kentucky is hoping to be reappointed to the State Court of Appeals next week. Kentucky has 7 appellate districts, which includes 2 Court of Appeals judges and 1 Supreme Court judge. District 7 covers most of eastern Kentucky. David Allen Barber is hoping to return to the seat after serving from 2000 to 2007. He says the state constitution is set up to allow anyone who is unhappy with the outcome of adjudication in circuit court to appeal their case.
On the Court of Appeals, I'd say at least 75, sometimes as high as 85% of the cases that we review our criminal cases. There's get a whole lot of that. And then if the penalty involves 20 years or more, the cases are bypassed the Court of Appeals and go to the Supreme Court.
Larry Thompson is also running for the appellate judgeship. He currently serves as Chief Circuit Judge in Pike County. Thompson says the position is an incredibly important one.
The general public usually thinks that you appeal and are successful because you lost. But that's really not how the appeals court works. There has to have been a legal issue or a procedure issue. In other words, the judge let evidence in they shouldn't have, or they kept evidence out or gave a jury instruction they shouldn't have, or they could have just misinterpreted the law.
The Court of Appeals judgeships are nonpartisan seats. Election day is next Tuesday, November 6th.
Among items appearing on the ballot for Kentucky voters next week is the decision on whether or not to pass Marcy's Law, a measure aimed at granting constitutional rights for crime victims. There's been some controversy regarding the measure's vagueness, leading Franklin Circuit Judge Thomas Wingate to rule it as unconstitutional. Cecil Watkins is the county attorney for Rowan. He says while he isn't taking a stance on the matter, Marcy's Law just sounds like the reiteration of a series of laws passed by the Kentucky General Assembly in 1986.
What's on the ballot, you know, it talks about giving the right to be treated fairly with dignity and respect and the right to be informed and have a voice in the judicial process. That's really already in the Victim's Bill of Rights. So that's really already in place. And a good prosecutor should be doing that to begin with. And most I know are.
The Secretary of State will count the votes on the matter on Election Day, but Allison Lundergan Grimes may not certify the results or make them official until a final ruling from a higher court has been made.
Halloween is one of the most festive times of year. Anyone can be whoever and whatever they desire. Morehead State University is proving just that with the night of Rocky Horror. The annual MSU Costume Contest and Rocky Horror Picture Show will be held Wednesday, October 31st, from 6 to 10 p.m. in the Golden Yang Art Gallery inside the Claypool Young Art Building. Director of that gallery is Jennifer Rise, and she says that's exactly what the judges will be looking for in a costume contest.
The only thing that we're looking for is they have to be unique and original to the wearer. So they have to be a made costume, not something that, as you know, was purchased at a Halloween store. We usually get sort of a review of the popular culture, you know, of the last 6 to 12 months. There's usually a lot of inspiration from movies and video games and TV shows and things like that.
Prizes will be awarded to MSU students that place first, second, and third in the contest. At 7:30 p.m., the screening of the Rocky Horror Picture Show begins with subtitles so everyone who attends can recite every line and lyric together.
Taking a look at the weather tonight, mainly clear, lows around 56 degrees. On Wednesday, partly cloudy skies during the morning hours will give way to occasional showers in the afternoon. Highs around 73, chance of rain at 40%. Wednesday night, considerable cloudiness with occasional rain showers. Lows around 61, chance of rain at 60%. On Thursday, rain likely, highs around 63 degrees, chance of rain at 90%. Rainfall around a half an inch, locally heavy rainfall possible. Taking a look at the listening area temperatures, in Flemingsburg and Inez at 67 degrees, in Ashland at 68 degrees, Lexington 67 degrees, Winchester 68 degrees, and in Moorhead it's currently 69 degrees.
Morehead State Public Radio's fall fundraiser and membership drive is closing up day two here at the Larry Netherton Studios in Breckenridge Hall. This year, our goal is $15,000 and 200 members. You can donate by going online, by visiting our website at WMKY.org and looking for the Support Us tab. When you click on the Pledge Now option, you'll go to a secure site to give us your information and make a donation. We also have volunteers standing by here in the studio to take your call. That number is 606-783-2001. And we hope that you will call in or go online and make that pledge right now. In lieu of a feature segment today, I wanted to take a little time to chit-chat with my co-host here, Chaz Jenkins. And as all of our student workers are that are in the here in the afternoons in Dew Mountain Edition with me, Chaz is a very integral part of our news team here at WMKY. Chaz, I don't say it enough that I appreciate what you do here at Morehead State Public Radio.
Well, thank you very much.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about your experience here as a student worker at WMKY in the newsroom. You've been here for what, 2 years? 3 years? Is this year three?
This is probably year three, I'd say. I've known about the radio station for since I was born.
Always.
Because my father works here, and he's been here a very long time now. And growing up, I'd always be listening to NPR on the way to school because my mom would listen to it in the mornings on the way to school. And it was always amazing to me hearing my dad's voice on the radio. I don't know why, but just hearing that. And actually, my radio voice was because I would listen to him constantly. Mm-hmm. And when you listen to me, I'm copying exactly how he talks.
Yeah, you do sound like your dad on the air, for sure. There are certain little things. There's the one thing that you say, Chaz Jenkins here with you.
Yes, it's exactly what Greg Jenkins here with you. It's, he does it exactly like that. Mm-hmm. For me...
But being a student worker...
Yeah, being a student, well, that's what I'm saying. I've always known about it. So getting the chance to finally work in the area that my dad's been working at a good bit, it's an honor, and it's very exciting. I think it provides me not only with getting in touch with current events constantly and my news writing ability, just my personality and conversing with people. Just every day-to-day when I'm talking to people, I learn from the radio station just how to talk professionally and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. I think the interaction that our students have with people out in the world really does prepare them for life, even if they don't go into journalism or public relations or anything that's very similar to the field. You develop skills that you're not going to get if you were working, like, say, somewhere else on campus, like food service or something like that. Although you learn other types of skills in that job. Mm-hmm. It's completely different than what you learn here that could be applicable in many different settings.
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, doing a fun drive, that's kind of newish. You did last year's fun drive, mm-hmm. but has it kind of opened your eyes to why it's so important that we ask people to donate?
Yes, very much so. I was always kind of in the back. I didn't start doing Morning Edition until this semester, so I never knew how much goes into getting people to get those calls in and the idea of pitching. It's kind of a new process for me, but I'm kind of excited about it, getting a chance to finally do that. But seeing it firsthand, it's incredibly important. The fact that we do that just is amazing.
And the one thing that a lot of our listeners don't even realize is the fact that you donate, it's not like I'm sticking the money in my pocket. It's actually going into our students' pockets. The money that you donate to Morehead State Public Radio, that you show us, you support us, you become a member, and that money goes straight to our student workers. You're providing them with a job while they're working on their education. You're providing them the opportunity to learn a skill that they have a really... interest in and that may be applicable for their major, and you're giving them the option to have something to do that is worthwhile. They're taking part in a professional organization, and so if that's important to you, then please give us a call, 606-783-2001, or online at wmky.org. We're hoping that you will give us a call today and help us meet our goal, 200 members or and $15,000 is our goal this year. And we're on our way there, but we need your help. So give us a call today, 606-783-2001. It's currently 449. It's 69 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. And once again, I'm Leanne Akers here with Chaz Jenkins. And we're in the Larry Netherton studio here in Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this Tuesday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Rowan and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more is available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
MSU Volleyball is nearing the end. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tolden Johnson. The Morehead State Volleyball Eagles are getting ready to wrap up a five-game stint on the road tomorrow when they face off with EKU in Richmond. The 17-8 Eagles have won three of their last six matchups, and they're coming fresh off a 3-2 loss to Jacksonville State on Saturday. Eagle head coach Jamie Gordon says that to come out on top tomorrow, the Eagles have to put up a good defense against the Colonels.
We definitely have to pick up a little bit of our defensive intensity. That's something I think has been a really good identity of this team and a characteristic. We do a really good job of holding teams to a low attacking efficiency. It's something that we've really been able to hold our hat on as far as the defensive performance. But as of late, I think we've lost a little bit of that edge. We've got a lot of young players out there, and this is a point where normally their high school seasons are done, but they've got a lot of experience under their belt, and now they've got to find that next gear and that second wind and really be able to push through towards the end.
The Eagles beat EKU earlier in the season 3-0. Tomorrow's game is slated to start at 6 p.m. Fall sports in Rowan County have wrapped up, and Viking student-athletes have their eyes on basketball. Both the boys and girls teams plan to host a media day at the school this Friday. The Vikings will return to the court with Coach Sean Thacker. Rowan went 17-15 last season, winning the 61st District Championship title, but falling in the second round of the regional tournament. The Lady Vikings were 19-11 last season, taking second place in the district and falling in the first round of the regional tournament. This year, they'll be following a new head coach, Matt Stokes. He says right now, the team is a little behind schedule.
We have girls playing soccer. Our volleyball girls did so awesome. They went to state, so we kind of, we want our girls to participate and go watch them in state. And, just there's a lot of stuff that's been going on. And we're starting off a little slow, but hopefully, we have our first scrimmage in about 3 weeks. So hopefully they can catch on really quick so we're ready for that first scrimmage.
The Rowan County girls hit the road for a preseason scrimmage on November 17th at Franklin County against Owen County. And the Viking boys also have a scrimmage that day against Belfry at Johnson Central. For the first time in Morehead State history, a woman will be behind the microphone as a full-time play-by-play announcer for the 2018-19 basketball season. WMKY's Tanner Boyd has more.
Emma Tiedemann made her debut last night during the Morehead women's basketball team's first exhibition game of the season. At 25 years old, Tiedemann comes to us after spending the 2018 season as the play-by-play voice of the Lexington Legends. Prior to that, she worked at the radio station KCOU on the University of Missouri campus. Tiedemann attended J.J. Pierce High School in Dallas before heading to the University of Texas at Dallas and then the University of Missouri, where she covered basketball, baseball, soccer, volleyball, and football, including the Tigers' 41-31 win over Oklahoma State in the 2014 Cotton Bowl. Tiedemann and the Eagles will return to action when the regular season begins on November 9th as they head to North Carolina A&T. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd.
Cavaliers All-Star Kevin Love could miss significant time with a foot injury that has bothered him since the preseason. Love will sit out his third straight game today as the winless Cavs host Atlanta and look to end a six-game winless streak to start the season. On Sunday, the team fired coach Tyronn Lue. The Cavs are still working through contract negotiations with assistant Larry Drew, who wants more security before he takes over. Love has had more testing in recent days, and doctors are reviewing results to plan his recovery. General manager Kobe Altman isn't sure how long the Cavs might be without their best player. The Cincinnati Bengals are on a bye week next week as they come off a 37-34 victory over Tampa Bay on Sunday. The Bengals are taking time this week to recuperate after a long continuous stretch without a break. Head coach Marvin Lewis says that because his team has been playing every week, he is starting to see some cohesion.
I think they keep getting better. That's the important thing. I think that's really important. They continue to keep getting better. I think playing together. You know, the six or seven guys that have played the majority of the snaps, you know, we still have what you're going to have, the occasional miscommunication, the bad plays that occur within the game because there's 11 moving parts on the other side as well. But I do think collectively as a group they're getting it. They're understanding it. They're kind of coming up with some personality, which is good, and we're going to need it.
Cincinnati will take on the Saints when they come off their bye week on November 11th. The Buffalo Bills are now 2-6 for the season, and they've scored just 87 points. The Patriots beat the Bills last night 25-6. It was New England's fifth straight win, improving their AFC leading record to 6-2. And the NFL has suspended Seattle Seahawks linebacker Michael Kendricks for 8 games for his role in an insider trading scheme. Kendricks pleaded guilty in September to 1 count of securities fraud and 1 count of conspiracy to commit securities fraud. He faces up to 25 years in prison when sentenced in December. And lastly in sports, with the Cincinnati Reds working to assemble a new coaching staff, the organization says former interim manager and bench boss Jim Riggleman will not be making a return. David Bell was introduced as the new manager last week. He tells Reds.com he's excited about his chance to bring success to the team.
In this city, this team means a lot. And to go through a process where we build it and we start at a point that, you know, it's a huge challenge. And then once we do have that success, for everyone in the city to experience that, that's unique. And, you know, that would be an incredible thing to be a part of.
Reds president of baseball operations Dick Williams declined to say whether or not members of the 2018 coaching staff would be making a return. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at MSUEagles.com. Football will have a senior celebration for their final home game of the season, hosting Drake on Saturday, November 17th. Kickoff is 1:05 p.m. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at MSUEagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks snapped higher as markets eased some of the month's brutal losses before the end of the month, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 431.72 at 24,874.64. The S&P 500 was up 41.38 at 2682.63, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 111.36 at 7161.65. The tech-heavy NASDAQ was helped out by gains in Intel and Comcast. These helped offset losses in Amazon as the e-commerce giant dropped another 0.5% during the session. Coca-Cola reported third-quarter earnings that topped Wall Street estimates, pushing shares up 1.6%. Sales of diet soda and higher prices helped the company top earnings and revenue projections for the quarter, boosting profit by 10%. General Electric dropped more than 10% at its lows today, dipping below $10 a share for the first time since 2009. The plunge came after the company disclosed that the Securities and Exchange Commission is expanding its probe into the company's accounting records. Shares of GE initially moved higher this morning when the company said it would slash its quarterly dividend to just a penny a share, but fell later in the day, of course. And this dividend cut was seen as a bold move by investors who took the action to mean that the new CEO would take dramatic action to turn around the fallen blue chip. Apple unveiled a host of new iPad and Mac computer generations at its annual launch event today in Brooklyn. The iPhone maker, which will report earnings on Thursday, said the latest iPads will eliminate the home button and include Apple's facial recognition technology that was introduced last year. After the close, Amgen and Baidu and eBay all report earnings. Facebook reported earnings that were better than expectations, although revenue did miss. The stock was up slightly in after-hours trading. In the commodities markets, oil was up 1.3% at $66.18 a barrel. Gold was down $1.90 at $1,225.70 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were flat today. The Stock 600 index was up only 0.01 of a point. In the Far East, stocks fared better than they did in Europe, with the Nikkei average up 1.45% and the Shanghai Composite up 1%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Intel and Boeing, while the worst performers were IBM and Visa. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Under Armour and Vulcan Materials, while the worst performers were Fluor Systems and GE. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up $1.44 at $73.57. Humana was up 6 at 323.61. U.S. Bancorp was up 76 cents at 52.32. Toyota was up $1 at 116.31. AK Steel down 15 cents at 350. And Marathon Petroleum was up $1.58 to finish at 68.81. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from National Offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News.